We at Bear Podcast would like to congratulate Dean DeBlois, director of How to Train Your Dragon 2. The film won Best Animated Feature Film at the Golden Globe Awards. Keep up the good work, Dean. In this episode of Bear Podcast,
Bat Sex,
Florida allows gay marriages,
I'll cuddle you so hard with the cuddler app,
and assault by reptile.
All these coming up on Bear Podcast. Bear Podcast, episode 551. Bigger than the earth, floating through space.
Kind of concerns many of us, even gay people.
He used to be cute, but that bitch just, she needed to be slapped.
Strip Cards Against Humanity.
And it's Sunday night, did you do the sing-along with Sound of Music?
One of them is gay and the other is straight.
I'm so gay.
Apparently he became gay.
It might be a source of sexually positive pleasure.
We worked on it, we had pleasure, that's great.
Is how it's done.
Welcome everyone to Bear Podcast. I am Nard.
And I'm Ray.
And welcome to episode 551. And it's January 6, 2015.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year again. And this is a pre-recorded show. And
that's right, because I'm gonna be, because when we actually air this show, I'll be out of town on vacation.
So. That's right. So this is like an episode of the future. No, of the past. How do you say it? I hate relativity.
Portions of the show might be pre-recorded.
Portions of the show, as in the whole show.
Yeah.
Portions, as in 100% of the show. Yeah. So it's like Tell us first. I hope you enjoyed the last episode we did today, 550, our first episode. We talked about
our year in review.
Year in review
of 2014.
It's probably a good place for everyone to check out. If you're a new listener or a new watcher of the show, go to 2014 because that's pretty much, you know, it's like a review of our life.
Yeah.
And the people who we had in the show.
Not that we lead those interesting lives.
No, not so much.
But it's a good review of what we talked about over the years, the things that changed and happened. And
things that happened, the events that year, and the things that we did, people we had on the show. It was a really great year. Yeah. So I hope the same thing would be happening this year. And what's so special about 2015 is also the 10th year that the Bear Podcast has been running. So August 1st is when it first aired. It was on iTunes first, because iTunes was the one that pretty much popularized how podcasting works. And I was kind of a techie, so I'm still a techie, and I was able to adapt the technology and everything, how to make a podcast first, how to do a recording, and then how to put it out there using podcasting. And I learned a lot, so that's were great.
Mm-hmm. And then he finally brought me on the show.
I brought Ray in the show. At some point, I had during the early year. Excalibur in the show. He was my co-host for a while, which is great. And then Ray came on board because he couldn't continue. Roy could not continue being in the show anymore because of his work back then. Yeah. So I had Ray in the show, and then it went on. And then Ray and I become best friends since then. And then. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's great. It was great. Now I'm through with you.
I'm through with you too, bitch.
Okay. All right. So this week, we're pre-recording this because Ray is leaving next week. Where are you going? What's going on?
Robbie's birthday is next week. So last year we went to the mountains, and this year we're going back to the Count Sierra Mountains and go up into the cabins in the woods. It's off-grid, and solar power, and wood stove, a wood fireplace, and to heat with.
I don't know about that. I feel like being no Wi-Fi, no 3G, no LTE. No.
I didn't say we didn't have any Wi-Fi now. I just said we just didn't have any. We weren't connected to the grid, to the power grid.
Ah, that power grid. You're not
they
connected
got a phone
to the power
line,
grid.
So they got DLS, so. DSL, whatever it's called.
They have LSD.
LSD, yeah. They're on LSD, yeah.
They have LSD there, so yes. We're good for the week. Yeah. So that'd be great. That's why we're pre-recording this, which is great.
So how was your New Year's?
New Year's was great because I was in New Orleans for... Wait, actually, we went to Casey and Chris's New Year's Eve party, which you missed.
Which I missed.
Yeah, you'll have an explanation there later.
Yeah.
So, Christmas. Here's the story. Mike wanted to go to the Sugar Bowl, but couldn't go to the Sugar Bowl because he couldn't get tickets.
Mainly because the Sugar Bowl was in New Orleans.
Yes.
And his team was there, Ohio.
Yeah. It's a great time to go, but he couldn't go because January 1st was my birthday. And the game is on January 1st. And it's in New Orleans. And I didn't want to go to New Orleans because I didn't want to go there for a football game. But what I did was I did buy some tickets for my game. So we went. So we bought two tickets. I bought two tickets and gave it to him on Christmas Day. And I had to ask you, remember? I had to ask a lot of friends, should I give it? Because Mike was moping. He was really moping that he cannot go to the Sugar Bowl. So I asked Ray. My response was,
every now and then you have to bite the bullet. It's your boyfriend's homeschool team.
Partner. They're in a, huh? Husband. Partner.
Husband, partner, whatever you want to call him. Husband.
Husband. Oh my God, if he hears you, he'll be angry.
It's his home team. It's in his hometown. They're in a new playoffs. It's like, Maynard, you got to suck up and just forget about your birthday this year.
Oh, yeah. I considered that. And sure, okay, we'll do it. But then I didn't tell Mike. It was Sunday, and the New Year's Day was Thursday.
He didn't tell Mike,
Thursday.
But he also didn't tell Mike he could go, so Mike missed getting the tickets. Yeah. So that's why Mike was all mopey.
Yeah, he was mopey because I told him too late that this go. Okay. Anyway, so I got the tickets already coming over. I already ordered it online and everything. I was thinking of giving it to him on that Sunday night because I didn't want him to be moping for 4 days before the Christmas morning when you give your gifts, you know. So that kind of worked well that I held off until Christmas morning. He was okay for 4 days, you know. Yeah. Still moping, thinking that we're just gonna go to a bar and watch it in a sports bar, watch the game, drink beers, but no, I had the surprise for him. So what I did was I was telling Mike, I'm sorry you couldn't go to the Sugar Bowl. So here is a Sugar Bowl. I bought him a Sugar Bowl, a real Sugar Bowl. And then there's candies inside. But then he didn't know that I have another box which contains the real ticket. So yeah, we went. And that was January 1st. After Casey and Chris's New Year's Eve party. So what we practically did was 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy New Year! Champagne, clink, clink, hug, 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 kiss, kiss. Okay, bye everyone, bye, we gotta go. We had to leave.
Did y'all drive to New Orleans that night or did y'all wait till the
In the morning, like 6 a.m. Well, Mike left 6 and then I had to call my family in the Philippines. So because it's nighttime there.
Yeah.
So I had to call because they're having a party there.
Yeah.
They're having a party for me without me. Yeah. And then I went there and then that was fun. Went to New Orleans to watch the Sugar Bowl and Ohio State University won. That's really great.
Yeah, and now they're going to the playoff in Dallas.
They're going to the playoffs in Dallas.
And Maynard won't buy his partner tickets.
Now, I have my limits. I don't think I'll do that, no. No, I can't, no.
Mike, I tried, man. I really tried.
So anyway, what else happened? Last Sunday, when I did come back Saturday, and then Sunday, the guy, Ray, did a surprise party for me and Robbie.
Because Robbie's birthday's next week, so and his was the first, so. And trying to orchestrate this thing was just an ordeal. But I got to spend time with some quality friends. So.
Oh, yeah. That's right. And it's the right size. It's the right people. I would like to be there. Yeah. So that'd be great. Yeah. That was great. Yeah. That's pretty much the weekend. How about you, Ray? What happened?
I was sick.
Since last week.
I was sick.
I mean, what?
I started getting sick the day before New Year's Eve. And then New Year's Eve, it was really bothering me. But I was like, I'm going to be a trooper. We're going out. We're going to celebrate New Year. About 11 o'clock, we were home.
So you did your countdown at home?
Yes.
That's lame.
I was sick. That's about all I could do.
Oh.
And then as soon as the countdown over, I was like, I was out.
Didn't you just watch it on TV with the ball drop?
Yeah.
Or you watched Robbie's ball drop?
No, I was too sick.
It was too sick. Okay.
I wasn't caring about no balls dropping or anything. All I was caring about was going to bed and going to sleep.
Okay. So. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. We're getting better now.
Actually, I'm getting better now. It's the last two episodes, I've been scratching my nose and doing everything because I'm going because it's driving me to the
sinuses. I think I got it. I think I'm getting it. I'm kind of feeling under the weather late today. It started today, so maybe I should take airborne or something. Mm-hmm. If that will work.
Take some
vitamin C. Vitamin C. I do take vitamin C. Okay.
Okay. On to topics.
We'll go through our topics now.
All right. You gonna do this one? Or you gonna do
sure. Okay. So this is actually an article. It's actually a letter. It's on Huffington Post. I kind of made this a summary here of things that we can talk about this topic.
And you can find the link on the website so you can read the whole article, which is an interview about fat sex.
Yeah. The title is Fat Sex. I know I'm getting fat. I need to lose weight. We're gonna talk after this. We're gonna talk about the goals for this year. Okay. So it says Fat Sex. The last gay taboo. So it's actually an interview with Dan Oliverio. He's a big guy, six foot.
He's a muscle guy.
225 pounds, solid pounds, probably muscle. And he kind of looks like, resembles a Jason Alexander muscular. So imagine that Jason Alexander was muscular. But then he likes bears. He likes
chubby guys.
Chubby guys. So there's this term called chubby chasing. Chubby chasing, how long have you been hearing chubby chasing, the term? For the longest time I've heard it.
Yeah.
Right?
But this article is like it's the great new thing or something. And I'm like,
yeah, they make it sound like it's a big...
Like, girl, it's been around a long time because fat boys been getting laid for a long time now.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Lots of them, especially. I am a chubby chaser. So... I've always not only just because they're chubby or that's how I pretty much when
he
I
like some big and hairy is what he's saying.
Well, big and hairy, or well, sometimes just big. Well, hairy is good too, but then you know
if he can braid the back hair, he's happier.
If I can comb, if I can brush the back hair, that'd be great. So for some people, golden showers is less shocking to hear than to hear the term chubby chaser. So if you talk to a straight person or any person who hasn't heard about the term, if you say, golden showers is, you know, it's water sports pretty much. Yeah. It's not as shocking as hearing a person talking about chubby chasing or chasers, but chubby chasers. So,
well, I've been around enough chasers to know that that some of them secretly are chubby chasers because they don't want their little Twinkie friends to know that they're like big fat boys. There's one here in Houston that used to do that, and he used to do it way on the down low.
Wait, you're saying he really likes bears. He didn't want to admit it.
He didn't want to admit it and didn't really want his friends to know about it. So it was always on the down low.
Yeah, we'll get to that DLO. In a minute here. Okay. So, oh God, do I know him?
Yes.
Very well, or just I know him.
You know him.
Okay. Ooh.
He now comes to all the bear parties. Since he's got over the age of 30, I think he's changed.
Ah, okay. So anyway, there's this. Okay. So anyway, there's this web series which is called "The Old Dogs and New Tricks." It's a web series. It's a comedy. Yeah. And one of the plot devices that they have there is a guy who's chubby chasing.
Yeah.
It's about chubby chasing. So I guess it's just one of the plot devices. They have a lot of issues, lots of gay topics, and it's a funny series. It kind of makes you wait for the next episode, which is good. I mean,
I'm gonna watch it. I gotta add it to the list of things to watch. So
yeah, okay. So one of the things that Dan Oliverio also said that fat is a it's taboo in our culture, that people do not acknowledge it, do not know about it, do not know that it exists, and if it does exist, it's something that it's not really for them. Or do you think so?
I think people live in a bubble sometimes.
You think this writer is
he that, must have, because well, you know, he apparently lives and stays in San Francisco, so that's its own little bubble anyhow.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's like LA. Everybody in LA is supposed to be pretty and skinny and, you know, muscle boy and all that shit. But you know, outside of those bubbles, there are redneck bubbas, bears, people that are not super, you know.
Yeah. But you know, not only, because if we talk about also straight people, there are guys who like fat girls.
Mm-hmm.
Or girls who like fat men.
Mm-hmm.
I know a few. Yeah. I know a few.
I know a lot of them that like big guys.
Yeah. But don't you think, you know, with big guys, with chubby guys, there's this problem with girth. Not that I'm complaining. I'm just saying that sometimes, you know, when you lose 10 pounds, you gain 1 inch of your dick back or something like that. And if you're really, yeah, sometimes you have a big fupa, it kind of covers a lot. But if that's the case, and women like big guys, would that be a problem?
I don't think so. I think whatever floats your boat.
Really? Okay. But anyway, so one of the things that we're talking about in this article also is that the people are offended by the term chaser. When people do talk to me, I don't feel offended. Do you think people get offended when they're called, oh, he's a chubby chaser?
I don't know. I mean, we like to label things.
Yeah, to label things. How about you? Well, for some time, of course, before Robbie, you've always been like you like the muscle guys.
I'm bisexual.
You're bisexual. Ray is bisexual. That's the first time I've heard of that. Well, I think we coined that. I feel like we coined that term for a long time. It's just that it's the first time you actually admitted it or somewhat.
He's not the first bear I've been in a relationship.
That's right. I forgot. You are
bisexual. Everybody had like, oh my God, all he's ever dated was chasers.
I keep forgetting you did date bears before. No,
I was single for a few years and I just hooked up with all these little chaser boys.
Okay, so like what you said,
issues.
Yeah, like what you said earlier, coming out as a chubby admirer, or as a fat admirer, it's like admitting that you are bi, and I would agree with that. There's a lot of people who feel like that if it's like coming out again, it's the second time you come out that hey, I'm gay. The next time, I like big guys. What? You don't like people your size, you know that? I mean that.
I think that's just people being crazy. I mean, people like what they like.
Oh, I heard about this. I think I read this many times in some articles before, and I heard it from people that it does feel like coming out
twice. Well, I'm sure they do.
Second time,
especially if you run around like younger guys run around these little cliques of all these little twinkie boys that are all alike, and then they're like, "Oh, I like him," and they're all looking at him like, "Ooh, he's fat."
He's yeah, I know. So. But then he's not. Oh. God, okay. I was kind of dating Mike back then. God, this is a long time ago, 2002. So I've been with Mike for a while that time. And there's this guy who I knew for a couple of years. He moved to Australia already. He told me once that, is that the type of guys you like? Ooh. And then I told him, well, he is especially my type. Yes, he is my type. He's more of a my type than you are. Then and then somebody overheard that our conversation, and that guy said, "Who are you?" He told that guy off that, "Who are you to say that? That's his type." And yeah, he likes bears, and to him, you're not his type.
And we talked about an article last year that bigger boys make better lovers.
Yes. Bigger boys make better lovers. Okay, so how about a definition, Ray? Feeder against gainers. What's the difference?
I don't know. That one's always kind of confusing me. But feeders are usually skinnier to muscle guys that feed guys to make them bigger.
Yeah, okay.
And then gainers are guys that usually eat a lot to gain weight because they want to be big guys.
Yes, that's pretty much.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
The and feeder, I never met a feeder until
the encourager. The feeder is the encourager
until Convergence happened in Houston.
And you saw gainers?
Well, there's a lot of gainers there, but there was a feeder there, and he's this hot muscle guy, just drop dead gorgeous, blonde, blue eyed muscle guy, and he was sitting there going around, and you know, you already got the guys that are like 500 pounds, they're in their little scooters, and he's sitting there feeding them pie. And he was just in heaven.
Oh, God. Which actually comes back to the next line in the bullet points here, is the fetishization to be a feeder gainer, a feeder and gainer as a fetish, just like S&M is.
There's all kind of fetishes and things you can pigeonhole.
Yeah, that's true. And this is one of them.
One of them, yeah.
It's like exactly what you just said.
Yeah.
A guy is feeding, is probably turning him on, getting a hard on maybe. Yeah. You're just feeding him a pie and then, oh my God, this is so hot. I'm feeding a big guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of interesting. Whatever
floats your boat.
Yep. Fat-thin relationships.
They usually work out well because usually the thin person is always cold and the fat guy's always hot. So in bed, they're warm. They keep each other regulated.
I kind of feel the same way, yeah. So what's good about that also is, it's a contrast. What happens is if it's a fat-thin relationship, the chubby guy likes the smaller guys and the smaller guy likes the big guys. And there's pretty much no crossover. Which is sometimes is bad. Sometimes there would be a crossover, don't you think?
I don't know. Well, there's always that thing. There's big guys that aren't like big guys that aren't like chasers, and there's guys that do whatever they can get out of dick in.
So Mike likes Asians and Mexicans. You know, that's his type. And then I like bears. So Mike and I have a crossover, pretty much. A Japanese bear. What do you think? That's a crossover, right?
Or Tornado.
Or Cholo. It's my Cholo. If you're looking at the video right now, I have a Cholo pick right now. Okay, so last bullet point here is actually twinks, a term. I just found this out. Chub floss is a term for big guys having sex with twinks. It's chub floss. I mean... this is the first time I've heard of it. I mean, it's in this article.
Well, the whole deal is, regardless of what people think or they're trying to do here, people like what they like, and you can't change that. And you're going to be attracted to what you're attracted to. So the biggest thing in life with the internet now is you can match those people up that have the same likes.
I have yet to see something that would surprise me, really. I don't know yet.
I mean, growing up, it always used to amaze me that all these really big women always had these little skinny-ass husbands.
Yep. It goes with straight or gay. Anyway, okay. Yeah. God, we really talked about that really long.
I know.
Just as long as we...
It's a big subject.
It's a big subject. What do you guys think? Email us, show@bearpodcast.com. Yeah. All right, let's go to entertainment, Ray.
Entertainment.
Speaking of entertainment, I just want to say this. Orphan Black is crack.
Orpheum Black.
Orphan. As orphanage. Orphan.
Oh, I thought it was Orpheum.
No, it's orphan. It's about orphans.
Okay.
So you guys, if you guys have Amazon Prime, you just got to watch. I hate my friend Mark. He got me into this last Sunday.
We hate you, bitch. We hate you.
Yeah. Mark got me into it and oh my God, I watched a whole season. Well, 10 episodes in the first season, but I watched it for the past 2 days, 3 days, I've been watching it. Oh my God.
It's kind of like Downton Abbey, isn't it?
Well, no, it's kind of like Breaking Bad with a lot. It has the intriguing topic and situations of Breaking Bad with cliffhangers as good as Lost. So mix that to the feeling that would be like Orphan Black. Oh my God!
So in the end, they're all dead.
No, we haven't reached that point yet. Okay. So yeah, I strongly recommend if you want. Yeah, Orphan Black is just awesome. Anyway, okay, so let's go into entertainment.
All right, on entertainment. And Maynard was supposed to watch this movie before the pod show so we could talk about it, but he did not.
It's my fault.
So if you've seen Tusk, if you have not, I highly recommend it. But it's some weird shit. But Tusk is about a U.S. podcaster. Imagine that. Justin Long ventures into the Canadian wilderness to interview an old man, Michael Parks, who has an extraordinary past, and the American learns that the man has a dark secret involving a walrus. It stars Justin Long, Haley Joel Osment, speaking of young cubs, and Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp was... He's in the last part. He's a cameo?
Or it, it's not a cameo. He plays a Montreal inspecteur.
So did he act like he was?
If you don't pay attention, you don't realize it's Johnny Depp.
Oh, really? Okay, good.
With all the makeup and stuff on, you don't really realize it's him. But unless you're a fan of Johnny Depp,
then you would know. Okay.
Yeah.
See, that's the point with Johnny Depp, though. He's now pigeonholed to be Jack Sparrow or or Willy Wonka. I mean, if you hear him, sometimes you could tell it's him.
Yeah.
You could have disconnected.
When I first saw him, I said, is that Johnny Depp? But it's hard. But it's very interesting. It's about podcasting going wrong.
Okay. Podcasting going wrong. Oh, my God. This is scaring me now. So, I hope this podcast doesn't go
wrong. And if you like cubs, then Haley Joel Osment has become a cute little cub.
Really? Okay, I have to check it now.
Okay.
Okay, so All About Eve. It's a 1950 film.
Yeah, this is one of those gay classics that every gay man should watch.
It's an ingenue insinuates herself. Is that what it says?
Yeah.
Into the company of an established but aging stage actress and her circle of theater friends.
Yeah.
Stars Bette Davis. Bette Davis, Anne Baxter, and George Sanders.
Yeah. So basically, Bette Davis is this big theater actress. Back in the day, she's at towards the end of her prime. She's in her 40s. And she's still playing 20-year-old roles, and everybody's commenting on it. So then Anne Baxter shows up, whose name's Eve in the thing. And she's like, oh, this poor little girl that's just like, oh, I'm just here. I'm just the biggest fan and blah, blah, blah. And then all this stuff. And it's got some great lines in it. And it's very campy and bitchy.
Ah, okay.
So
for a 1950 film, okay.
Well, most of the 1950 films are very campy and bitchy. Anything that had Bette Davis or Joan Crawford in it. So,
yep.
But it's one of those gay movies that all gay men should see. So,
okay.
Now the next one is
Her. Mike and I saw this. When did it come out? 2 years ago?
No,
3 years ago.
Her has not been out that long.
Oh yes, it has been. I mean, well, either last. I think it's last year.
It just came out at the beginning of 2013 because it got an Oscar.
If it got an Oscar
in 2014.
In 2014, it was in 2013.
Well, it came out at the end of 2013.
Yeah, it came. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, it's kind of a sci-fi. We saw it before. It's pretty good. It's
all sci-fi.
It's really a recording talking to him. It's really more of him talking to himself.
But it's set in the future.
Oh yeah, in a sense.
In a future, yes. Los Angeles, because Los Angeles doesn't look like that today.
Yeah. The reason why Joaquin Phoenix, well, I'll talk about it in a minute. So a sensitive and a soulful man earns a living by writing personal letters for other people. Left heartbroken after his marriage ends, Theodore, starred by Joaquin Phoenix, becomes fascinated with the new operating system, which reportedly develops into an intuitive and unique entity in its own right. It's AI. So he starts the program and meets Samantha. It's actually the voice of Scarlett Johansson. If you guys watch Avengers, Scarlett Johansson, whose bright voice reveals a sensitive, playful personality. Though friends initially, the relationship soon deepens in love. So that's the problem. It's an AI.
Yeah. I like the whole premise of the movie. And I wouldn't mind having an AI like that that would, like, you know, schedule and do stuff and handle stuff, because at that point where this was in, everything was pretty much handled electronically, so they could write emails for you and check stuff and follow up and do all that stuff. So I could like that. Of course, mine wouldn't be a woman. It'd be British.
This was a British.
It'd be a British man.
I thought you'd like a Southern guy named Travis.
Nah.
Yeah. It kind of displays how Internet of Things work, all because of your voice. Just talking to – it's practically having a –
Well, it's set in the future, so that whole thing that everything's voice, you don't type really anymore, it's all voice activated.
Yeah, you dictate, like I said.
I mean, this guy has a job writing love letters, because people can't write love letters anymore.
Yeah.
And he went to school to be a writer, and that's what he makes, that's his career, and he apparently makes good money at it from the way he lived, but.
Yeah. So, like I was saying earlier, Joaquin Phoenix had the Oscar nomination in this one. I didn't think he
win. He didn't win, but
somebody else won.
Spike Jones was the writer director, and I think he was the writer director, and he won the Oscar for it.
Well, looking at it, if I remember when I first saw it, Joaquin Phoenix really acted really well, because it's, oh my God, he's just talking to himself, and he could really emote.
He got nominated, and he should have won, but I forgot.
Yeah.
No, that's right. That's the year he got beat out by McConaughey in Dallas
Buyers Club. Oh, yeah, Dallas Buyers Club. Then it was 2013.
It was the end of 2013, early 2014 when it was out. So
it was really good. All right, so those are entertainment news. Her. I know it's an old one. Well, a couple of years ago, but...
Yeah. But if you haven't seen it, just out now. Okay, check it out.
It's time for the gay, the geek, and the bizarre. Okay. I added two gays here for some reason. Yeah, I did. Okay, so you go ahead with the with this gay, and then I'll take care of the other
gay. Okay. I'll do the first gay.
The first gay. We have two gays.
As the gay marriages begin in Florida, Supreme Court is set to meet on the issue. Gay couples began marrying in Miami on Monday, kicking off a pivotal week when the Supreme Court will have a chance to consider whether same-sex couples have a constitutional right to marry or whether states may limit marriage to a man and a woman. The Miami-Dade County judge gave couples there a head start before marriages began elsewhere Tuesday in the nation's third most populous state. With the addition of Florida, more than 70% of Americans now live in the 36 states and the District of Columbia where same-sex marriages are allowed, according to estimates by Williams Institute at the UCLA School of Law. On Friday, Supreme Court justices will meet in private to consider whether to act on cases that could provide a nationwide answer on whether same-sex marriages must be allowed. On the same day, a federal appeals court will consider bans in Texas, Mississippi, and Louisiana. It's an incredible confluence of events, said Sharon Manner, legal director of the National Center for Lesbian Rights. It's the culmination of many years of work. The marriages in Florida and the potential for a constitutional decision by the Supreme Court this year reflect the rapid advance of the same-sex marriage movement and the remarkable change in public opinion. When the court heard oral arguments about California's Proposition 8 and the Federal Defense of Marriage Act in 2013, only nine states and the district allowed such unions.
Uh-huh.
So, it's about here a lot faster than we thought, and probably Texas will be the last damn state.
See, I think Texas is going to be the last one. Ugh, that sucks. Anyway, so that'd be great though if it gets legalized here. So it's inevitable.
We hope.
A couple more years, that nine states? That will dwindle down to, I don't know.
Well, depending on what the decision is, it'll be over with. And it needs, and let's hope it happens while Obama's still in president, because if we get a Republican president, the next thing, all this shit will disappear.
Yeah.
It'll be locked down, and then they'll try to start reversing stuff. So.
Yeah, that's right. So, imagine that. If that, this happens, that'd be great. What am I going to say? Like I said, it's inevitable. And would you imagine, let's say Texas, you're the last state that is going to legal, that's supposed to be legalizing, but you're still very staunch in trying to, no, we're not. So marriage is between a man and a woman.
It's all about the governor here. Yeah. All I got to say, it is all about the governor.
So you have 49 states. Just imagine that. 49 states, they already allowed it. And you're just the one asshole.
And you know his response is? The same response my mother used to give me. Well, if all your friends jumped off a bridge, would you do it too?
Well, it depends on what kind of bridge. But then if it's a gay bridge. Yeah, what I'm saying is, if you're the only one, don't you think public opinion would actually sway you, or that could really?
Well, affect? See, I don't. But see, here's the thing: in Texas, outside of the metropolitan areas, probably Houston, Dallas, and Austin, everybody else is very conservative in Texas.
Yeah, the other states
very very Republican and very conservative, and most of the people that live in those major areas, half of them still vote Republican. So. It's hard to get stuff passed.
Yep, that's true. But we'll see. It's just a matter
hopefully of it'll all be over with soon. Everybody can get married and be happy.
Okay, so the next gay article we have here is, it's cuddle time. What am I talking about? It's a new social site. It's called Cuddler. Spelled as C-U-D-D-L-R without an E. So Cuddler. What is Cuddler? Cuddler is a location-based social meeting app just for cuddling.
Right.
Thanks to Caesar for this article. It's on our Gay, Geek, and Bizarre Facebook page. It's a way of finding people near you who are up for a cuddle without any pressure or expectation.
Right.
When you and another person decide to have a cuddle, the app gives you live updating walking directions to each other so you can meet up. Right.
He is three bushes over in the park, Memorial Park.
We can cuddle there at the bushes. This'll do. What was the inspiration for Cuddler? Our culture doesn't have a space for closeness without pressure. The way we talk about meeting and sharing space and contact with someone assumes that it's centered explicitly around sex and dating. Right! Or based on the kind of affection a parent might show a child. So we're not getting the right type of contact in often enough. And we don't give and get enough hugs. Hooking up is certainly not always a bad thing. But there's definitely an underexplored time and a place for a more gentle, no-pressure intimacy. And that's what Cuddler aims to help with.
How does Cuddler work, Maynard? I'll tell you.
Okay.
It finds the closest cuddlers in walking distance and shares their first name, picture, and successful or problematic past cuddles, if any. Bitch wouldn't cuddle naked. She dirtied me when we were cuddling. She soiled me. She only likes to wear piss-stained jocks while we cuddle. Tap to request a cuddle from a specific person or respond to someone else's request. If you both agree, you can shoot them a brief message like, "Let's meet at the park behind the big brown bush."
Oh my God.
Or, "I'm wearing a green shirt." Cuddler will then show real-time walking directions between the two of you. Once you meet and have a cuddle, you can give a thumbs up if everything went okay. Or in the event of somewhat too grabby cuddle, you can report the geezer. That's it. The app also lets you share a picture of the cuddle, and when you're ready, you can ask for another cuddle through Cuddler.
There's so much danger in this.
Well, that's no different than any other hookup app.
Well, it's more like it's
really. The other thing is, in Japan, women charge for this service.
Yes, they do. I read that story about that.
Well, guys pay to cuddle with these women. So. Oh,
God. Like $40 worth, $50 worth.
Yeah, for 30 minutes or something like that.
What's the difference between Cuddler and certain popular hookup apps?
Well, it's not sex. It's cuddling.
It's not sex. It's cuddling, yeah. Many features such as chat, photo albums, shared interests, and likes can keep users from actually meeting. They just chat for months or swipe left or right or send photos. On Cuddler, you get together straight away. Or gay away. Right?
What if there's somebody close to you?
I know.
What if you're in a city as big as Houston and there's only 30 people on Cuddler and you're in Humble and everybody else is in Montrose?
I know.
You're going to get walking directions to Montrose?
Yeah, I don't want to walk that far. So, yeah.
Unless you find some straight guys up here that want to cuddle.
Straight guys want to cuddle? That'd be good. So they have a little cuddle and then part ways. Oh, God, really? I'm just going to hug you and cuddle you. And
I guess you can wear your t-shirt, "I would cuddle you so hard."
Yes, that's right. That's one of those shirts. Yeah. If you want to hang out again, you can exchange information and then there. But you already know what kind of cuddles they give. So it's cuddlerapp.com if you want to try out some cuddling in your neighborhood.
Not mixed with Grindr or Scruff.
It's not Grindr or Scruff or Growler. It's not.
Or what's the other one? Tinder.
Tinder, yeah. Tinder for the straight people. Yeah.
Well, now gay people use Tinder too.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, they're expanding now.
Yes.
Okay. Good tier. Okay. So,
let's go to the geek. Our geek this week is a self-adjusting belt, which all big boys can relate to.
Okay.
You can keep your 4K TVs and your anonymous puppy dog drones. The Belty promises to have a greater impact on humanity than even the wheel. It's the world's first smart belt featuring an electric-powered motor built into the buckle that automatically loosens the strap when you sit down and then tightens your belt again when you stand up to head off any Benny Hill pant dropping escapades. And for you that don't know who Benny Hill is, he's Paul McCartney's cousin.
No way.
No, but you know those bitches didn't know who Paul McCartney was this week. Anyway, no. The creators of Belty, a company called Emota, aren't sharing pricing details or an exact release date yet, but they're hopeful the belt and the Boca Combat will hit the market later this year. Made in France with fancy leather, so it makes an even bigger fashion statement than just a huge belt buckle under your belly. Well, that's kind of like you're in Texas. The Belty wirelessly connects to a smartphone app so you can teach it your preferred level of tight and loose.
Oh.
if only bottoms were this way. But further tweak it how far it can expand during dining emergencies. The Belty is truly smart in that it's able to learn on the fly how far it needs to loosen when you sit down or even consuming a massive meal or fasting for a week. You can also specify the limits of how far the buckle can winch itself in so it doesn't accidentally constrict and cut off your blood circulation from the waist down. But if you put it on your girlfriend's throat, you can choke her with it. So, and let you leave your fitness tracker at home. The Belty has an accelerometer, too, so it can keep tabs on your activity level throughout the day, providing metrics to this app to shame you into eventually not needing to wear a self-adjusting belt.
You know, somebody can fetishize this by putting it on the neck, like what you said. And then the sir would be adjusting with the app. Sir, yes, sir. Give me some more. Strangle me some more, sir.
But see, none of that stuff should ever be automatic because something could always go wrong.
Manually,
it's a little easier if you're just unhooking the belt or you're just tightening it up around the neck.
It's a little faster because if you have to do it in the app, you have to unlock the phone and then go to the app. You have to swipe through. Yeah. If it's an iPhone, swipe to the right, unlock the phone, or use your finger
detector. Yeah, or what if Bluetooth's not working or it just fries itself because of all the lube and won't work.
Would you touch it if you have lube in your hand? It's just a lot of work. Why? It's geeky. One would like to have it just for the fun of it. So you go to a party. Hey, look at my belt. It just tightens and loosens and you drop your pants. Oh, that's what it is. you make it so loose you drop your pants. Oops.
And what if other people are in the room with the belts and you can connect to them on your app and you can be like,
oh, that's right. Okay, so that guy's hot. I have control over his belt. I'm going to hack his belt.
That's right. So,
and then you'll see him. He's in commando. That's exciting.
All right, on to the bizarre.
Okay, the bizarre is... okay, this is kind of near the trouser snake that I would say. Anyway, so pet store owner uses a reptile to assault employees. So this is in Florida.
Are always in Florida.
Deerfield Beach in Florida. A bizarre crime at a Deerfield Beach pet store was caught on surveillance video. The Broward Sheriff's Office has yet to release the footage that apparently shows a man putting a bearded dragon in his mouth and using the reptile to assault store employees. The man at the center of the accusations is the store's owner, Benjamin Siegel. See? Is he related to Steven Siegel? No, that's Tegal.
Siegel.
Benjamin Siegel, who is being held in jail without bond. The 40-year-old has been charged with battery and animal cruelty. Siegel.
Battery to the animal or cruelty to the employee?
Well, animal cruelty and then battery to the employee.
Oh, okay.
So at one point, Siegel asked the Broward County Sheriff's Office, the detention deputy, to step back. The jail guard replied, no. And that's when Broward County Circuit Court Judge Hurley stepped in. So,
Mr. Siegel, order the deputy to stand right there, Hurley said. He's doing his job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Siegel has a history of erratic behavior and a slew of recent arrests for assaults. Assault, false imprisonment, and cocaine possession. See? That's why. Many of the violent accusations involve past and present employees. His store, Ben Siegel Reptiles, has also been in the news before. 2 years ago, the shop hosted a cockroach eating contest but one contestant died after choking on the insect. Oh my God.
It's probably clawing its way back up.
Yes. It's in the most recent incident involving the bearded dragon. Siegel also used a Gatorade beverage to douse his victims. What? It's unclear that what happened to the reptile used in the odd confrontation. So experts say bearded dragons can grow as long as 18 inches. What are you thinking? Anyway, Siegel has been ordered to stay away from the two victims named in the arrest report who were employees at the time. So the pet shop owner has also been ordered not to have any contact with reptiles. So that's what you're getting.
So who's taking care of the shop while he's out and who's taking care of the reptiles?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there are no more employees. They quit probably and there's no more owner.
Yeah.
So what are we going to do? Well, the owner, I guess he's just been ordered to stay away from the victims. I guess he got away out of bail or something. Anyway, okay, so that's it for the show. And okay, so I guess we're going to see you. Well, when this episode goes out, it's going to be in regular timing. It's just that it's pre-recorded. I hope you guys enjoyed it. If you want to contact us, send your emails to show@bearpodcast.com.
If you'd like to leave a voicemail and give your opinion on an article we've talked about or comment on something, or just give us a call, man. We're lonely here.
We're lonely.
We don't have anybody to cuddle with.
So, oh, the cuddler. You want to cuddle with us? Cuddle us with your voice.
Leave us a voicemail at 206-222-2327. That's 206-222-BEAR.
Yes, and subscribe by iTunes, Vimeo, and YouTube. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And also, you can listen to the show on Bear Radio Network and Stitcher Radio. And go to the official website at bearpodcast.com. Thank you, everyone, for watching or listening. And we'll catch you guys on the next episode of Bear Podcast. Many wolves and many hugs.
Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear.